Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, as we work our way through the sufficiency of Christ. That's what the theme of the book of Colossians is all about. Because one of the major themes of Paul writing the book at Colossae was to show the deity and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In the face of the Colossian heresy that had come into the church at Colossae by the Jewish legalists and by the pagan Gnostics, that you had to have some kind of superior knowledge to go to heaven, and that Jesus wasn't who he said he was and claimed to be. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19 is one of five great, what they call, Christological passages in the New Testament that all deal with the person and work of Christ. We have the one here, and we also have one in Hebrews chapter 1. We have one in John chapter 1. You remember that? In the beginning was the Word. Ephesians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2, talking about he's Lord, and he came and condescended down to earth, died as a man, and God has exalted him, given him a name above all other names. So I want to talk to you this morning about the Lordship of Jesus Christ in three features. Not our submitting to his Lordship and what that means, but the fact that he is Lord. Number one, his relation to God the Father. Number two, his relation to the creation. And number three, his relation to the church. So note these three features of the Christ Lordship. Number one, his relation to God the Father. Look in verse 15a, who is the image of the invisible God. Let's go ahead and read all of it. I don't think we did that, did I? I didn't read the whole text, did I? Okay. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. You might want to underline these prepositions. For by him all things were created, and that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or different ranks of angels. He said all things were created by him, for him. And he is before all things. By him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Father, I pray this morning as we look at the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we really recognize, we go deep this morning and understand who it is that we worship and serve, and understand who it is that saved us. And we ask your blessings upon your word. If there's someone here today that has never understood that they're a sinner, never understood the fact that Jesus Christ, who is Lord, came and died in their place and was raised from the grave on the third day, now sits beside the Father, awaiting to take us home one day. Lord, if there's never nobody here that's ever surrendered to his Lordship, we pray today will be the day. We ask that in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. His relation to God the Father. Now, the word image there, look at that again in verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is the image? You may want to underline that word in your Bible. The word means more than resemblance or similar, more than just a representation like a coin or a mirror. He is the manifestation or the likeness of God. Jesus Christ is God. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, like some cults want us to say. There's not but one God. And he was with God in the beginning. And that word also there, the word image there also, and this is the one I want to really share with you, that word also there means, that word image means stamp or exact copy. Christ is the very stamp of God. Now, we're all familiar with icons, right? Now, I'm talking about sports heroes or whatever, and you know that they call them an icon in this field. I'm talking about on your smartphone, on your desktop, you got an icon. If you want to go to Fox News, you got an icon. Fox News, you click on that icon and you go to the Fox News, right? Icon. See, icon is the same thing as where you're going to, right? And so he is, we illustrate this by an icon. Jesus Christ is the very image of God. He is God. Now let's go a little further. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. the visible expression of God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in truth and spirit, right? But the Son took on flesh, and he's the same one. We're going to see him that way when we go to heaven. We're going to see him as he ascended. We're going to see him forever because he died for our sins like that. But we know God by we see the expression of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul is confronting the false teachers that incarnation, the invisible God, became visible in Christ. He's more than a baby in a manger, right? He is supreme. He is Lord, right? And he demands to be worshipped that way. And the invisible God became visible in Christ. And Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, right? And so Christ is God. If you don't believe Christ is God, you got to believe that before you can even talk about salvation, right? And then not only in his relation to God the Father, but we notice in verse 15 through 17 also his relation to the creation. Notice what it says in our text, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by all things hold together. By him all things consist. Now, what do we see here in these verses in relation to creation? Number one, Jesus is Lord. The word firstborn can refer to the first in time. You know, you might be the firstborn of your family, you know, whatever, or your siblings, you know, but that's not the way it's used here. In the context, it refers to highest priority of position. It speaks of his preeminence. It does not speak of time or chronological order, but a title. This is his title. He is the firstborn. Christ was not the first created being, as some would believe. He was the creator, right? Okay, when I do it like that, that means respond, right? But Christ was not the first created being, as cults would say. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's supreme, sovereign, foremost, permanent, preeminent, and he's above all. In fact, the psalmist said it this way in Psalms 89, verse 27, also I will make him my firstborn. I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Now, when did the Father make Jesus Christ the firstborn? Philippians chapter 2, when he came and went and died on the cross, God has declared him Lord, right? Christ is called the firstborn over all creation in that he has given the preeminence over all created beings. He was before creation. He was not a creature. He was the creator, okay? When we understand that. Second thing we see, not only is Jesus Lord, but Jesus is creator. Verse 16, look at that again, verse 16. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is the creator. Now, as we look at this text here, we see that Jesus is the sovereign source of creation. Jesus is the divine agent, and everything was created for his use and for his glory. What does the Bible say in Genesis 1:1? He spoke it into existence. Ex nihilo, his spoken word. He spoke and it was here, right? What does the Bible also say? One day he's going to speak it and it's going to all dissolve, right? And it's all going to be destroyed. He's the sovereign. That should solve any other variant views about creation. Jesus is the divine agent, and everything was created for his use and for his glory. Note the words created. We got two words here in verse 16, the word created. Notice the first one here in Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. The first word views creation as a definite historic act. You know, he's done creating, okay? 6 days. He rested. Why? Because he was done with creation. Now, the second word there, created, look in verse 16. For by him all things were created that were in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible. It goes on down. It says all things were created by him and for him. That word there, creation, means it was in the past and it was a perfect work. Okay? There was nothing God had to add to his creation. It was perfect. you know, and we can go on with that if we wanted to. But the second word speaks of a resulting state. Because he created it, the result of that, the fact is, it has created. It's done. It's a done deal. God's through creating. There's no more creation, right? He's created what he created, and has put it into its orbit, if you will. And the law of dynamics, Brother Jack? You familiar with that word, hydrodynamics? And everything left to itself is going to decay, right? And it's winding down. Man's not destroying it. It's in God's plan. It's winding down. And that certain time, it's all going to be over. Creation stands created. We have a Christ-centric universe, right? It's not about us. It's not about nobody else. It's not about a politician. Not about a preacher. It's Christ-centric creation. And he holds it all together. That's what Peter said, right? What is the glue of this universe? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You ever wondered what holds all the orbit together? It's something called, I was reading on this the other day, luminant. It holds everything together. Without that, it's all going to explode. And guess what? This same luminant, if I can say it right, is in you. It's in every chromosome you have that holds you together, right? Do you realize that? If that wasn't in you, you walk around one day and you just blow up, right? Right? And that's what holds us together. And that's what holds his creation together as well. And then lastly, as we look at verse 7, look at his creation, Jesus is before creation. Verse 17, Christ existed before all things. So how can the first created being be before creation, right? He was pre-existent with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, pre-existent together, right? And it is through the word of Christ that all things were created. He is the great I am. Remember that? John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus basically told the scribes and Pharisees right there, I'm God. I'm pre-existent God. And they claimed he never told them who he was, right? I am. MacArthur says here, let me read this to you. It's good. Here Jesus declared himself to be Yahweh, the Lord of the Old Testament. God declared himself to be the eternally pre-existent God who revealed himself in the Old Testament to the Jews. Right? Don't tell me that Jesus Christ is not God. You can't find it in the New Old Testament. You find it several times in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, you know, is spoken of him in the Old Testament as God. And he's the sustainer of the universe, as I said a while ago. Look in the latter part of verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist means hold together, right? I mean, I believe in science, except when it contradicts Scripture. Amen? When it contradicts Scripture, I'm going with God, you know? You know? You know, if our earth was tilted just a little 1 degree or half a degree or a fourth of a degree or a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. A little farther away, we'd all freeze to death, right? Who keeps that in place? The Creator does, right? There's a little program that comes on Saturday morning. It's a little cartoon, and I don't remember the name of it. Faye, you might remember the name of it, that the animals speak like characters, personification, they speak with voices, and the guy's interviewing the little animals, and they're speaking about how God made them, and y'all remember that? You know? In fact, you made me forget what I was going to say about that, but they speak about how the Creator made them and keeps them, you know? It's a wonderful program for kids on Saturday morning, but I can't remember what it says. The Bible says that he holds it all together. He is the glue of the universe. Everything's about him, and when we get to heaven, everything's still going to be about him, right? It's not going to be about what you had here on this earth. It's not going to be about who went before you. It's going to be all about him, amen, when we get to heaven. Hebrews 1:3 says this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And then 2 Peter comes along and says he don't hold it anymore, and it all explodes, right? And when he had made himself, he purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. 2 Peter 3:7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. I wish some of our liberals would understand, you know, according to some of them, we should have been gone 10 years. I mean, we should be gone now. I mean, they said, what, back yet 10 years ago, we're not going to be here? 25 years ago, we're not going to be here? Man, we're going to be here all the way to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, right? But they reject the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. Jesus is Lord over creation as creator and sustainer. And then lastly, his relation to the church in verses 18 and 19. Look at that. And he is the head of the body, the church. See, you are the body of Christ on earth, right? You're his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. We are his body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the head. He's the head of the church. Christ alone is the head of the true church. There have been cults and formed it where man is the head of the church. Every cult has a male leader or a female leader, right? But Christianity has Christ, right? And that's how we know the difference. He directs, he controls, he guides, he gives life, he governs the church through his spirit and through his scriptures. Christ is the head, and the church is the body on earth. We are not a worldly organization that has chosen to be a civic club here and meet on Sundays. We are the universal body of Christ. We are the spiritual organism called the church. Ecclesia, called out ones, right? Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, and we just joined the local church to express our union in the body of Christ and with the head. And so he guides and gives life and governs the church. By the way, he doesn't do it through bylaws. He does it through scriptures, doesn't he? Christ is the head. He's the church. He's the body on earth. The church is the living spiritual organism composed of members united together to glorify the head. That's what we do. The Bible Believer's Commentary says this: just as human body is a vehicle by which the person expresses himself, so the body of Christ is that vehicle in which on earth by which he also chooses to express himself to the world. If there's anything God's going to do good, it's going to be through his church. That's the only organization that he has given the authority to go forth and share the gospel, right? It is the church. And these people that strike out on their own, they don't fail to come under the leadership of a local pastor and a local church, and they're going to start their little ministry. Listen, it begins with the church, right? And then the church sends you out to do whatever you want to do, right? Under their auspice. So he's the firstborn. He is the beginning. Verse 18, he is firstborn from the dead. Their firstborn means he was the firstborn from the dead, right? Christ is the source of all spiritual life and resurrection life. He is not the first to be raised from the dead, right? There were others that he raised before that. Remember, he raised the widow's son, he raised Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, right? But it is only by his resurrection that there'll be any other resurrections after that. It'll be the church, will be resurrected at the rapture, the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation, to enter the millennial kingdom. And the wicked will be raised at the end of the millennium to stand before the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. But he is from eternity. He's the firstborn from the dead. He didn't become God at his baptism. He was God. He was still God on the cross, right? His deity didn't leave him on the cross. He's always God. Now look in verse 19. We're almost there. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The false teachers at Colossae, see, this is why this is the main theme of his book. The false teachers at Colossae sought to rob Christ of his deity. He is not God. And they wanted to make him the first created being. Still, their cults do that today. But Paul asserted that the fullness of the deity completely dwells in Christ alone. Now, what does that mean? The fullness of the deity. All the divine powers and attributes of God dwell in Christ, right? The fullness in him. Colossians 2:9 says it this way, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So Jesus Christ is Lord, right? That was the testimony of the early church before they were killed. Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Today it would be Jesus Christ is optional, right? But Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is he your Lord? I don't use the term your personal Lord. I don't use that term. He is Lord, but have you made him Lord in your life, right? Have you submitted to his Lordship? You know, is there anything in your life that's not coming under the preeminence of his life, right? Y'all don't lose me yet, okay? Y'all stick with me. Are y'all still with me? Is he preeminent in your life? Is there anything else that's more, that is over Christ in your life? Whatever that is, we need to repent of it. And we need to come to him and say, Lord, you are my life, right? And come to him. Father, I pray this morning as we open our, close these books, the errant, infallible, inspired, authoritative word of God. Father, we believe that you are Lord, you're God, you're Christ, you're the Messiah. And Lord, we today, as we begin to sing, there may be somebody here today who says, you know, I kept this little corner back for me. It's not his. He's not going to touch it. And that's not preeminent. But Lord, maybe today we need to surrender. We sing, I surrender all, but have we really? So that's the question today. He is Lord, whether you make him Lord or not. The question is he your Lord? Have you surrendered to his Lordship? We invite you to come. It may be for membership in this body called Trinity Baptist Church. It may be for to be immersed into the baptismal waters. Wherever it might be, we invite you to come. This is the time to come. This is when decisions are made. And we invite you to respond. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.